What's on my heart this morning is Psalm 18. When we were away, it was great to be up on the mountain, and I was able to bring my guitar along with me, my little guitar, and I had a little amplifier, and was able just to stand on the mountain and on the deck and have coffee and play my guitar and that kind of stuff before the beauty of God. And you know, in those times where you get dry, where you know what, you find it hard, difficult to pick up the Bible, to maybe like open up and to read something succinctly, to get in your mind to focus on that because so many other things have got you distracted. Well, it was a good time for me just to get away to refresh, us as a family to refresh, and to be able to get back into that discipline of getting into the Word consistently day after day after day after day. And when you do that, it's amazing how God's Word does not return void. He always shows you something. He always picks something up. He always says something to encourage you, something that you need. Well, Psalm 18 was one of those psalms that I came by on my time away. And it's a psalm of David. You'll find the same wording exactly just about of Psalm 18 is in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22, I believe. And so you go between those two, and it's the exact same wording. It's a psalm of David, and it's during David's time where he's being chased by Saul. King Saul wants to put him down, and the enemies, or Israel, are lining up. So we know this. It's called a royal thanksgiving for victory. It's a royal thanksgiving psalm. And I want you to listen to it carefully. Because this morning, what we've been doing, giving thanks, giving praise to God. You know, we've heard some of the stories of being in the difficult spot, where maybe you are today, or somebody you know is in a difficult spot. And you just desire for God to show up. God to show yourself. To appear, to reach in and change that situation. Well, here's Psalm 18. Psalm of David. Starting at verse 1, I've got the Revised Standard Version, and the Holman Christian Standard Version is on the screen. I love you, Lord, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I have a song going through my mind right now. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of perdition assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, to my God. I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. And my cry to him reached his ears. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went out from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering around him, his canopy thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him there broke through the clouds hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. And the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord. At the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He reached down from on high. He took me. He drew me out of mighty waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the loyal, you show yourself loyal. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you show yourself perverse. For you deliver a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. It is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lights up my darkness. By you I can crush a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The promise of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? The God who girded me with strength and made my way safe. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand has supported me. Your help has made me great. You gave me a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them and did not turn back until they were consumed. I struck them down so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you girded me with strength for the battle. You made my assailants sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine like dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the peoples. You made me head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their strongholds. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Indeed, you exalted me above my adversaries. Adversaries, you delivered me from the violent. For this I will extol you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great triumphs he gives to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Can you say amen with that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. The Lord rescues those he is delighted in. According to one's righteousness, the Lord rewards. Repayment is according to the cleanliness of one's hands. The Lord deals with humanity according to the cleanliness of one's hands. The Apostle Paul states, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. None of us are without sin. None of us are clean. All of us deserve death and God's wrath. Except there is an exception. There's a but. Those who believe upon and follow Christ Jesus as Lord. Romans 8:1. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in flesh like ours, under sin's domain and as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The cleanness of one's hands depends upon one's status with Christ. Are we a follower or a foe? Believer or just a fan? Dedicated or just interested? God's grace is available for everyone, but only applicable to those who apply. Just like a job. You want the job? You have to apply. You want the benefits? You get a sign for the card. One does not receive the benefits without receiving the benefactor. John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. So then, how can David declare perfection? How can he declare blamelessness? How can he declare not guilty? The proof is in the pudding. God rescued David from his enemies. Psalm 18:19. He brought me out to a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Why does David love the Lord his God? Why do we love the Lord our God? Because he is our strength. Because he stands like a rock upon whom we can stand upon safe and secure. Because he is unassailable and a refuge in all circumstances. Because when David called upon his Lord, he answered him, saved him from all his enemies. Psalm 18:3. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Because he is delighted in me and I in him. Do I delight in Christ? Do I keep his ways? Do I follow his commands, his precepts, his love? This is what it means to have clean hands in God's sight, to be blameless, to be pure. Christ is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Amen? Christ had not yet died when David sings this song. Christ had not yet sacrificed himself to make David clean. How is David blameless? David was not without sin, but he was blameless in his motives. Verse 23. He attempted to obey and keep all the Lord's ways, commands, and statutes, verse 22. He did not depart from God, verse 21. He honored the covenant made with God. Exodus 6:7, I will take you as my people and I will be your God. You will know that I am Yahweh your God who delivered you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. And what happened? Moses led them out of Egypt into the promised land. Provision, living in covenant with God, is his protection. David calls upon the Lord for protection, and he expects fulfillment because he loves the Lord, shown by what he does and how he does life. How do we do life? Should we expect the Lord to reach down and save us? Should we expect the Lord to reach down and to heal us? All David's motivation in his heart is to walk with God, to love God, to honor God. He's known as the one who is after God's own heart. He delights in God. Do I delight myself in God? Do I delight in Christ? As a result of David's love of God and his ways, he has extended God's mercy. God rescues David from his enemies. David expects God's mercy because his life is lived with the motivation to follow God, to keep his ways, even if he may fail at times. It's the motivation of the heart. God knows that we're going to fail, but what is the motivation of my heart? David knows that God is a God of mercy, Deuteronomy 4:31. The definition of mercy is an act of kindness, compassion, and or favor. It is the word rikam, or you might pronounce it a different way. Barakam is the Hebrew idea of a woman's womb. A what? Yeah, a woman's womb. Psalm 22:10. I was given over to you at birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Isaiah 46:3-4. Listen to me, house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been sustained from the womb, carried along since birth. I will be the same until your old age, and I will bear you up when you turn gray. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will bear and save you. Anybody say amen to that? We just had that testimony today. I will carry you, I've made you, I will bear you, and I will save you. God sustains Israel, David, you and me, by the favor of a divine womb. When God dispenses his mercy, we are protected as a baby is protected in their mother's womb. We are carried along in God's mercy, received through belief and following Christ. This is a great picture for me. Maybe a great picture for you all that have been parents, especially moms. You know what it is like to carry a baby. I know what Lynette was like carrying our children. It's great, protective. She might not think it was great. It's like this big bulb in front of you. But that baby's protected. That baby is cared for. Everything that that baby needs is provided by the mom, provided by God himself. As you guys know, Lynette and I are going to be grandparents for the first time. I don't know how I feel about that. That says you're getting old. But you know, we're getting more and more excited about it, obviously, because October is coming. And when October comes, the baby is here. But I see the pictures of Michaela and this little bump. And I'm going, she's going to be a great mom. Eric's going to be a great dad. And that baby is going to be taken care of so well. And is being taken care of so well in that womb by God himself. We are carried along in God's mercy, received through belief and following Christ. That whole thing of mercy in God's womb. Moses and the Exodus. When Moses asks to see God's glory, God does not deny Moses, but protects him and extends him his mercy. He puts Moses in the cleft of the rock and covers him with his hand and then passes by, allowing Moses to see the back of his head. God shields Moses from his glory, bestowing his mercy upon him, a protective womb, the cleft of the rock. Even though no man can survive seeing the glory of God face to face, Moses is protected and allowed to see the back of God. Following God's instruction to lead the people to the promised land, Moses asked God to go with them personally. He does so because the people have a habit of wanting to go their own way and do their own thing. Amen? We do the same thing. Moses conquers with God, that the Israelites are a stiff-necked people. Or Moses confers with God that they're a stiff-necked people. So I need you to go with us. Lord, I need you to go with us personally. Because I cannot do this on my own. I cannot lead these people without you. Exodus 33:3, 5, 34:9. Moses asked the Lord to have mercy upon them and to extend his favor upon them, his protective womb. The Lord agrees to Moses' relief. Exodus 34:9. Then he said, "My Lord, if I found favor in your sight, my Lord, please go with us. Even though this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wrongdoing and sin and accept us as your own possession." Lord, accept me as your own possession. Protect us. Walk with us. I know that I am stiff-necked. I know that I want to do things my own way at times, but my motivation is for you. Remind me when it's not. Correct me when it's not. Exodus 34:10, and the Lord responded, "Look, I am making a covenant. I will perform wonders in the presence of all your people that have never been done in all the earth or in any nation. All the people you live among will see the Lord's work, for what I am doing with you is awe-inspiring. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And my covenant, his name is Jesus. And if you believe in him, he will do awesome wonders that you've never known or seen in your life. He will support you. He will be with you. He will save you. You will go through difficulty. But I will be with you, and I will give you and be with you as a protective womb, because my mercy is great." Amen? The word compassion. I'll back up. Just as God provided himself as Israel's protective womb and still does today, Christ is our protective womb. Jesus extends to us his mercy. He promises to sustain us by his mercy. Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. The word compassion is the word mercy. It's a protective womb. It's a father coming to protect his child. It's a mother coming to protect their child. Christ is our protective womb. Are you feeling weary and worn out? Look to Jesus. Trust Jesus. He may be guiding you now. Because his compassion, his mercy is great. The word compassion is the same in the New Testament, is the same as mercy in the Old Testament. When Jesus loves us, he extends his grace and mercy to us. When we are living a life of obedience to Christ, we can expect his mercy in our circumstances. Amen? Psalm 103:13, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Those who revere him, those who honor him." Paul affirms this truth of God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Romans 9:15, "For he tells Moses, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Then the Lord passed in front of him, in front of Moses, and proclaimed, "Yahweh, Yahweh is compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in faithful love and truth." Do we believe this? Are we living so as to be protected by God's protective womb in Christ? When we choose to intentionally live our own way, abandoning Christ's way, we leave that protective womb. But just as when Israel turned back to God, when we repent, confess our sin, our wrong, and come back to following Christ, we once again come under the protective womb of God's mercy. Proverbs 28:13. "The one who conceals his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy, will find God's protective womb. God delivers when we delight in Him. God delivers when we repent and confess our sin to Him. God will protect you as you walk through difficult times to become who He wants you to become. God uses difficulty to prepare His servants for His work. Preparation for Joseph was 13 years. Preparation for Moses was 40 years. Joshua, 40 years. How long for David? 10 years. 10 years David spent running in exile from Saul, from the enemies. 10 years David had to develop his dependency upon God, to develop his delight in Him, to see Him provide for him, to protect him, to guide him, for David to listen to Him and develop the same heart as his God, to develop the same motivation in everything that he did. Did David have a chance to take Saul's life? A couple times. Did he do so? He showed compassion. He showed mercy. He showed the same thing that God was showing to him. And that became a great leader of his people. David. Compassion. Mercy. Did David have it all right? No. He committed a most grievous sin with Bathsheba and sent her husband to the front lines to die. But he was still a man after God's own heart. He has failures. He fell. But the motivation of David's heart was to follow God. To follow God. But we all get in those situations where the temptation becomes too great. And we follow ourselves. We follow the ruler of this world. But we have a great God. A great mercy and grace who brings us back. Who says, if you repent, if you confess, you come back underneath my protective womb. And I'm for you, not against you. Do we delight in Christ? God will deliver you because He delights in you, delighting in Christ. Amen. Amen.
Father, I hope it is everyone here and online that it is our desire to delight in you. Father, because you want to delight in us. And when we live our lives following your commands, following the way that you love, when we follow in obedience, then we're underneath your protective umbrella. We're in the womb. Your mercy is upon us. And Father, more than anything today, we need your mercy. Because the world seems like spinning out of control. But we know that your hand is in and upon the world. That you're the one that spins it. And we need to have the faith and the trust to follow you. And still to live the way that you've encouraged us to live. To love well. To love you and to love others. But Father, sometimes it gets to be too fast, too hard. And we just need that assurance that we're in that protective womb with you. Would you speak that to us this week, in the month to come, in this year? For we don't know what to expect. But we know that in you, nothing is impossible. So, Lord Jesus, we glorify you. We give you thanks. Glory to our Father. Glory to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.